Welcome to the Q&A session of today's webcast by ITC. Thank you for joining us. My name is Adam Dunford, Vice President of New Business Development at Insurance Journal, and I'll be hosting this conference call today. I'm joined now by Laird Rixford of Insurance Technologies Corporation. Laird is the Vice President of Product Development at ITC, where he and his website builder team have developed over 3,000 agency websites nationwide. Laird's expertise lies in online marketing, search engine optimization, and social media. Laird, I enjoyed the webcast. Thank you for joining us now to field some questions from our audience.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Great. Before we open it up to questions, let me just review a few housekeeping rules to improve the Q&A session. As I mentioned earlier, for those of you who are just dialing in, all of your phones have been muted. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 6 on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your line and allow you to ask your question. After you've unmuted your line, please state your name first and the company that you work for, and then go ahead and ask your question, in which case Laird will just answer that question. We'll stay on the line as long as necessary to get to all of your questions. So with that, let's open it up. In fact, while we're waiting for folks to ask their questions, Laird, I do have a couple questions for you to get the ball rolling here. What should I do on my agency Facebook page when the new timeline layout becomes available this week?
That's an interesting question. That's changing tomorrow, where the timeline is being introduced to everybody on Facebook. The first thing you can do is update your top image with a very good image that represents your agency. It can't have marketing materials, can't have give us a call, can't have call to actions, can't have the like button or anything like that. But it's this billboard that really allows you to set up a very good looking front page for your customers to land on whenever they get there. Also, the timeline feature is really neat because it allows you to see further back in time than having to, and you just scroll down, and that allows you to have all the pictures there down at the bottom and comments. And then the final best thing about the new design is that you can actually pin items where they stay at the top of your newsfeed. Usually they just got pushed down throughout the day as more and more posts were being done. But the new one allows you to post it for a period of time that allows it to stay in front of your customers, those most important posts that you do.
That's an interesting feature I didn't know about. That's great. Really cool stuff. When you say one Facebook post or tweet should be self-promotional, what do you mean by that?
There's a lot of misconception that you just talk about your agency and that you talk about what's going on with your products and your services and what you offer to your customer base and also your prospect base. So that will burn people out based upon the number. If you keep doing self-promotional tweets and self-promotional posts on Facebook, people are going to get burned out and they're not going to want to engage with you more because you just become like backscatter, just noise in the background. So what you have to do is you actually have to post other posts that are general interest that people are going to like and that they're going to follow. And a lot of times insurance is not sexy, and it's hard to make it really nice. So what you need to do is put out posts that can drive to engage your customers and just make them go, hey, this is a great place for me to get information about, you know, so-and-so.
Excellent. Great. Let's open it up now to the audience. If you have a question for Laird, press star 6 on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your phone and allow you to ask your question. So don't be bashful. Please, what are your questions?
Hi, this is Chris at the Morse Agency.
Hi, Chris.
Hi. Well, I'm having an issue trying to come up with what content I would put on the Facebook page that's not self-promotional, or where do I get this content, and how do I start doing this type of thing?
One of the Chris, that's a great question. One of the things that you can do is, first of all, start off slow. Don't just dive in and say, hey, here's the, I'm doing a whole bunch of my own content. I'm doing a bunch of my own links and everything. You can look at other properties, look at other Facebook profiles that you're within the industry that you're friends with and see what they do. And you are able to relink those and actually, use, kind of go off of their content until you get a very good idea of what does work and what doesn't work. By doing it that way, you can actually see, what kind of stories that you've posted allows your customer base to engage you more on those posts. And then you can eventually, see what, okay, this is what people really like to see. For example, my wife, she loves to see stories about how you can, avoid an accident and that type of stuff. She reads those to me all the time, and I'm just like, hey, you're my target customer at times. Another good thing is blog posts. If you ever blog about your agency and have it on your website or have it on a blogging site, it's really good for you to link back to those blog entries, because that's just another backlink that allows you to drive traffic to your website so that they see you as a full brand, not just a person on Facebook.
Anything else, Chris?
Well, how about how to start a blog? Because we don't have a blog now.
There's lots of great ways to start a blog. You can go to any of the blogging sites like WordPress or Blogger or Blogspot, and it allows you to create a blog. Now, a lot of websites that you can get these days actually have a built-in blog where it's simple. You just put in the title of the blog, you put in the information in the blog, and the blog information does not have to be a full-fledged great written article about, how to save insurance. It might just be, hey, this is where we're going to be as an agency. We're going to be doing a kind of a charity event, or we're doing some giveaway at our office, or we're just giving away free cookies this Friday. And you can put those blog posts on your website. Most of those have a very simple title, content, and tags, and then it will be posted on the web for you. And then it will give you a link, and then you can backlink to that blog post.
Okay, thanks.
Great. Thank you, Chris, for those questions. Next question, please press star 6 on your telephone keypad to unmute your phone, and then state your name and the company you work for.
Hi, this is Tess with KCAL Insurance Agency, and I just have a question. Could you just maybe talk about Google Plus for a little bit, just like what it should be for and how we can use that to market?
It's a great question, because Google Plus still is a neighborhood that is growing. They talk about their circles, and it's growing. There's a lot of people that are on Google Plus, but it is very slow to grow as a social network. It is growing. However, it does not have the force behind it that Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn have at this time. But Google owns Google Plus, and they have integrated a lot of Google Plus into their search results. I mean, every search result on Google, when you search, has that little plus one button on the side of it. And those plus ones actually do start to influence ranking from what we've seen in the industry of the SEO. We have seen that those plus ones actually do influence ranking. The next portion is, this goes back to the blogging, is by setting up your Google Plus profile and then link every time you write a blog as an author and you backlink it and you say, hey, this is my Google Plus ID, it will actually, on the Google search results, it will put your picture and your name and your Google Plus profile right next to your search results, so it further personalizes those search results. And we've seen some really good success, people using the Google Plus, because they have so deeply integrated it into the Google search engines. Now, to what it is, they've opened it up for businesses, so it's good for contacting businesses. Almost everybody has a Google account in some way, shape, or form. And so with that, you just get it's very easy to sign up for a Google Plus. So they've got a big, broad base of people. So you should absolutely be using it in the exact same way that you do Facebook and Twitter, but you should do that added component of linking your author profile to your blogs.
Okay. Could you explain the thing you mentioned about including the Google Plus ID with our blog again?
Yes, there is a snippet that you can get in your Google Plus account that will say that you just put in the HTML code that says, this is my Google author, Google Plus ID, and you just, whenever you're writing your blog, you can drop it into the HTML portion of the blog, and then Google will just pick that up on its own. Now, some blogging software like WordPress, they have plugins that allow you to just plug in your Google ID, and then it will do the rest for you on every single post.
Okay. And with Google Plus, would you say like the ratio of like self-promotional posts versus like general interest posts, would that be more like Facebook or Twitter?
It would be much more like Facebook. Twitter, like I was mentioning in the video, is more of a news feed, like a constant feed to, because you have so little information that you can post in each tweet. It's more of a news feed, while Facebook and Google Plus allows you to broadcast a lot more information and have much more to say with each post.
And would you suggest linking all three of them together so the information is the same on all three, or updating them all separately so it's a little bit different for each?
That's a question we have all the time. You should, whenever you have a blog post or something that is uniform across all of them, those you should do all at the same time because you want everybody to see it. But as I was mentioning, each property has its own special properties that make it special. So really, you should not post across all of your properties at once. You should customize the message for each property based upon the group of people that are going to be using it and the message that you're going to be distributing. Like I was saying in the video, Facebook is all about friends, so it's a friendly type of experience. Twitter's more of a news feed, informational, quick, right then and there, very quick communication, almost like an IM chat session. And then Google Plus kind of follows Facebook. And LinkedIn, that's, you shouldn't post very often on that. Those should be the major events that are going on in your life or your agency's life.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great questions. Thank you. Thank you, Tess. Other questions? Please state your name and the company and ask your question.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, this is Jennifer, and I'm with Ross Insurance Agency. And my question is, I have two Facebook pages. Is there a way to combine them into one?
The last time I checked, the answer is no. Are they both separate pages? Are they actual business pages on your Facebook?
One's under my business email address, and one is under my personal. Well, they're both business email addresses, but one's under Farmers, one's under Ross Insurance Agency.
Yeah, I do not believe that you can combine them.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jennifer. Any other questions, Jennifer?
No, that was it.
Great. Next question.
The one thing I might say to you, am I still here?
Yes, go ahead, Jennifer.
Okay, is when I first called in, it brings up a list of people that actually called in for the questions and answers. And I almost hung up, too, because as soon as you call and put in the number and the pound sign, it says muted. So it doesn't tell you that there's a way to unmute the call during the conversation. So immediately I thought, oh, well, this isn't going to work because I'm not going to hear anything. I mean, so there were a lot of people that signed on and then dropped off. I think that may be the reason, because it says that.
Okay, thank you for the feedback. That's good feedback to hear.
Yeah.
Other questions?
I saw a question on the chat session about which one works best for an agency from some insurance guy. Could you clarify what that one was? You're asking which one? Are you asking which social property is best for an insurance agency? Okay, yes, Facebook or Twitter. They both have their – those are really good for general – both Facebook and Twitter are good for the personal lines. any type of thing that has a personal touch, such as life and health, those are personal. Those are dealing with people on a regular basis. And so both Facebook and Twitter are good for the general agency. Now, the one that starts to deviate off of that is, of course, LinkedIn. And LinkedIn is a very great property for dealing with businesses and commercial accounts. Because what you do is whenever you talk to a person about their business or their life or whatever, and they're a professional, what you can do is you just request them as a LinkedIn colleague and mention them with your business and all that, and just friend each one using LinkedIn. Now, what's really great about doing that is that when they get weekly emails that says, hey, this is what's going on with my colleagues, this is what's going on in the industry, and at the very bottom it says, this is what's going on with businesses that you're friends with. And I think that it's a great thing because I'll see our post on there every once in a while, and I'll see a lot of my agency's posts on there, and I go, this is great because it's front and center, and I always see what's going on with the LinkedIn because of my LinkedIn emails.
Great. Thank you, Laird.
So, yep.
Any other?
Chris again at the Morse Agency.
Go ahead, Chris.
I don't know or do anything with insurance and work. The company is like about 40 people. Do you have any suggestions of how I can get others to write blogs or provide content that I can do something with on their behalf since I don't know any of this?
Because you have people working for you, they're a good source. Ask them what they like to see. And start with that. What do you like to see on whenever you're surfing your Facebook page and your Twitter page? What interests you? What do you like seeing that's going on in the industry and in the world? And then so those are a really good starting point. And then you can start switching gears by giving the – if you have a content expert, and I'm not saying someone who's really good at writing content but knows – is more of a subject matter expert, then what you can do is you can take that person and have them write a story about – that they've heard in the industry, that they've experienced within their job working with you. And that's whenever they type out a story that's, you know, I've seen someone write about not having insurance and the hassle it gave them. I saw one about being properly insured and prepared for a hurricane. So all of those were just subject matter experts that were pulling off of real-life experiences to create a content entry.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Other questions? If you have a question for Laird, press *6 on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your line and then give us your name and the name of your company.
Well, I see – this is Laird again. I see someone on the chat that Pello that is looking for information for mobile devices. And mobile devices, we talked a lot about social today, and that seems to always be the hot button. But I really feel, especially what I said in the webcast, is that mobile is what made social. No one goes home and says, oh, I'm going to tweet about my day when I get home. It's more I'm sitting right here in this restaurant. I saw something, and I tweeted about it. So mobile, you need to have a really great mobile presence that integrates with social. For example, that if you have a Facebook profile and there's a link on your Facebook profile that goes to your blog, and then all of a sudden you go to this full-fledged, non-mobile friendly website, then the person's going to, first of all, it's going to be hard to navigate. You got to zoom in, zoom out. There's all these questions. If you had a mobile-friendly version of your website or your web app, then it would automatically be in that nice mobile-friendly format that is touch-friendly, finger-friendly, that can really make that stuff work and engage the person. And then even on that entry on the mobile device, you just put the social sharing icons front and center, and then they can repost it, retweet it, and go through and do whatever they want with that because it's on a mobile-friendly device. Another question is, should you have a separate mobile app versus the mobile website? The very easy thing is mobile, whenever you build an app is one of the ones that you might download from iTunes or something like that. the problem with that is that if you have to change information on an app, you have to get it submitted, you have to resubmit, and then get it up to Apple or the Android or the Windows market. So what you should do is actually create an app that just launches your mobile website. Because if I'm surfing and you don't have a mobile app for the Windows phone, or you don't have one for BlackBerry, and I'm able to go to a mobile website, then I get a nice mobile-friendly thing. But if I'm on an iPhone or an Android where you have an app in the market, that app would be best served just to open and then launch your mobile website. And then that gives you the functionality of your website with the functionality to update your website very quickly on the mobile site. Another thing that you should do is that there's a lot of, you know, whenever you go to a mobile-friendly site, it should instantly recognize that you are on a mobile device. It shouldn't say click here for a mobile version, or it shouldn't be a completely different site. It should automatically detect that you're on a mobile device and then redirect you automatically for any link on your website to your mobile-friendly website.
Great information. Do you see other questions there in the chat that you'd like to answer?
There's a question about Project Cap via the Big Eye. That's very, you know, their mobile app that they have in there is, it does have content. It does have a link, and it's a way for you to, for people to find you, but it doesn't offer every single thing that you need as an agency to have a mobile presence and a mobile web app that is tied to your agency with all the tools, all the forms, all the content that you do. For example, the websites that we provide, the website will build a full-fledged website and a mobile website, and each page is tied to each other. So that if you go to your automobile homepage, then the content will be the same on your mobile device as well as your desktop device, except the format is different so that it's more finger-friendly and easier to navigate and a much smaller profile.
Excellent. Thank you, Laird. Other questions? If you have a question for Laird, press *6 on your telephone keypad. That will unmute your line and tell us your name and your company and ask your question.
Hi, this is Alita from Conway Sporelli Marketing. And my question was, how do you make insurance, like, interesting? Because it's not a really, like, super interesting topic.
Yes, that's kind of what I always try to say, that, you know, we try to tell all of the people that write content for us is you need to do your best to make insurance interesting. And I always use the word sexy because it's just not. It's not a brand new shiny iPhone that really, you know, can grab people's interest. It's something that you don't really want to have to pay for. It's something that you hope you never have to use. It's one of those things that just is in the back of the mind. And that's why the content with your agency should be very, when you're doing something, they all should rotate around the fact that those things need insurance. Like if there was a really big pileup, if you saw something on a local news channel, there's a really big pileup, then what you can do is you can tweet about that pileup or Facebook about that pileup and then put your small commentary about how having properly insured vehicles will help you make sure that, you know, you're not in a financial risk. Another thing is a lot of people they like hearing stories that entertain but are telling a message. You see them all the time on Yahoo. And one of the things that you can do is you can say, this content is really well designed for capturing capturing someone's interest, and then you can actually convert that and because they just have a humanitarian slant to them. And then what that does is it allows you to say, hey, this is good content, and it gives you some ideas of what to write. Another thing that we've done is create just I mentioned it one. We have an agency that does Cookie Fridays where they tweet about we're baking cookies every Friday, and people will come into their office and pick up cookies, and they talk about it, and it gives just something to talk about, and it makes the agency personal outside of just, hey, we're the ones that provide insurance for you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the question, Alita. Any other questions?
Hi, this is Tess again. I was just wondering how we can use social media to recruit, like for hiring.
That's a great thing to do, is that one of the nice things about social media is that you can actually see how they interact with other people, because you can see their social background and see how they're using, if they've made that information public. And it also allows you to post out there, hey, we're looking for jobs. And then what you do is whenever you have some feed going and you have people working for you, you could create like a referral bonus for your customers. And you know, you can't make it you can't do it, rebate it, because there's a lot of rules about rebating insurance, but you can give off something in kind, maybe movie tickets or something of value, that says, hey, for any referral that we get for, you know, not just new business but also recruitment. And then what they do is they're going to say, hey, this is a great opportunity, and then they're going to broadcast that on their social profile. And then any of their friends that might be in the insurance industry that might be looking for a job, that's something that they can use. But the big one is LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a great place because you can post jobs and search jobs based upon area and area and business specialty and what their job title is. So a lot of times it's not just, you know, recruitment is not, hey, I'm looking to go hire someone right now. It's finding the best talent at the right time. And so what you can do is you can sit there and work, talk to people, engage people on LinkedIn about their history and everything, and you might find someone who's really great that currently has a job, but if you keep in constant contact with them, then what happens is whenever they are looking for a job or they're looking to make a move, you're at the top of their mind because you have been continually engaging them on the social media.
Thank you, Tess, for the follow-up question. Any other questions?
I see Josh has posted an email question, is what's the difference between a mobile site and an app, and which one is more useful? I did kind of cover that, but the real difference is that a mobile website runs on your mobile device's browser. It doesn't require anything special to be installed. And with the advent of new technologies such as HTML5, you'll actually be able to do much more rich websites that have moving content that you don't even have to download an app and you do all of that. In fact, there's some games, even games now, that don't even require an app. You just go to a website and it will play right on your mobile phone. So as websites become more powerful and devices become more powerful, the importance of apps is going to diminish because websites are going to be able to do everything an app does. And if you develop a website just for, you know, if you develop an app, it's only for that one device. It's only for iPhone. It's only for Android. But if you develop a website, any mobile device of any brand, any maker that supports modern web standards is going to display that. So if a brand new operating system comes out and it's designed well in HTML, then the mobile website is going to do everything that a mobile app can, and you don't ever have to install it.
Great explanation. Thank you. Any other questions?
Another question on the chat session is, I think it's cool when highlight their employees via social media. You think that helps recruitment efforts? Absolutely. Employee recognition is huge. Whenever we can, we really try to recognize employees. And if you look at our own Facebook feeds, we actually do employee spotlights. And so those employee spotlights will actually drive people that work with them and see them on a regular basis, and then that employee recognition just says, hey, this is a good place to work because they do recognize what their employees do for them. So it's a great way to advertise, hey, you're a friendly company, you care about your employees, and everybody's looking for a company that will treat them well.
Any other questions for Laird? We don't want to end this Q&A session before we've addressed all your questions. So final call for questions. If you have a question, press *6 on your telephone keypad and then state your name and the company you work for.
I got a question that I see on here from Pella again. Is are there any E&O issues? Could you elaborate on the E&O issues that you're asking about? E&O issues of using, you know, posting something on social media and all that. Is that what you're looking for? Okay, perfect. The answer is yes. Again, it's the same. You need to follow the same rules that you follow as an agent. You almost have to be somewhat lawyer-like, is that you don't go out there and say anything over that, you know, that, hey, if you get a quote from us, it's bound or something like that. You have to be very careful of what you say. For example, in the state of Texas, we had a customer who was doing some social media posts, and they were doing it themselves. But what they ended up doing was they said that homeowners insurance will cover you in the chance of loss. Well, that's incorrect. So the Texas Department of Insurance came down on them, and so they were, you know, speaking kind of out of turn. But in the sense of like E&O, like errors and omissions of what you're saying and doing, it's as long as you stay away from giving full-on advice and, you know, binding information, then you're okay. And, you know, your marketing rep might not be licensed, but what you can do is you can have your marketing rep give you just an Excel spreadsheet where someone can quickly glance over the links, go to the links, go to the content, see what's going to be posted, and what that will do is that will give a licensed representative the opportunity to say this is all good. And, you know, for 95% of the posts, there's going to be no question of that it's A-okay to send. Now, the other one is you just need to make sure that whenever someone posts a comment, albeit positive or negative, or they discuss their policy on social media, try to steer them away from saying specifics because of that. You know, it's kind of more confidential information. But I will actually go ahead and talk about negative information. It's actually a good topic to talk about. Is what do you do in the situation that someone posts negatively about you on a social property? And Pella also said we'd encouraging them to message us instead of a wall post. A lot of people just wall post. That's what they're used to. A private message does not always happen. And so what you have to do is you have to protect yourself against that. And so what you should do is if you ever get a negative post, first of all, address it immediately. Say, hey, this is, you know, we understand we'll be contacting you now. I mean, remember, it's social media is instant gratification. So you go, hey, this person has posted something bad. You say, we will be contacting you now. And then you contact them offline. And then you come back to social media after you've resolved the issue and you thank them for their feedback and thank them for the opportunity for you to speak with them and to settle the situation to their liking. And then hopefully they will post back and say, you did a great job. I love working with you guys.
Excellent suggestion. I think of opportunities where there's negative feedback to just turn it into a positive experience and help solidify that relationship even further. Any other questions for Laird before we end this webcast today? Just I wanted to communicate to you before we close this Q&A session that we will be sending everyone who registered for the webcast will be sending you an email with a link to the webcast. You can watch it again. We also recorded this Q&A session, and we can also include a link to that Q&A session if you'd like to review all of the questions and answers that we discussed today. That will be included in that email as well. So one final call for questions before we close. If you have a question for Laird, press *6 to unmute your phone, and then give us your name and the company name. Laird, it looks like there are no more questions. So thank
Great.
You very much for the time. We appreciate the information. And any final words before we close?
No, I just appreciate everybody taking the time to look into this. And just this is one of the things about this is that it is just a starter. This is just one step of it. There is a ton of stuff that goes behind it that is impossible to say within, you know, 5, 10 minutes or even an hour. So it's an ongoing conversation that we are always open to have, is that there's always suggestions and there's always new things coming about. And, you know, as new things change, the market has to change. And so you always have to be aware. So wherever you go get it, you know, find someone who can assist you in your marketing efforts, and you'll go far. We've seen agencies really succeed with social media and the usage of mobile.
Great. Thank you very much. Well, on behalf of Laird Rixford, I'm Adam Dunford at Insurance Journal. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to hosting you again next time. And until then, have a great day.
Thank you.